You're listening to KSRM Sound Off, a conversation that's been going on for over 40 years here on the Kenai Peninsula. And the whole point is to have a conversation about what makes the Kenai Peninsula the best place on the planet to live and how to make it better. And one of the things that makes it better is some of the stories that get told about the Kenai Peninsula and the people that live here. And we'll call it the biographer of the Kenai Peninsula and Alaska in general, Naomi Gady Penner is in the studio with us today. And our first caller today was asking about book signings. And you just had a book signing at the Senior Center.
Right. I was just over there. Now I'm here today. Mm-hmm. I do sign all my books that are going into the stores. And they're in River City Books, King's Treasures, and Kenai Visitor Center. Okay. So they're available there.
All right. And then if you have upcoming events, the best way for people to stay in touch with you is?
I have a website, prescriptionforadventure.com. I have Facebook, prescriptionforadventure.com. I have a blog, prescriptionforadventure.com.
Busy, busy, busy. So you can add friends and like Prescription for Adventure on Facebook. So that's a good way to stay in touch with folks. And you take email, too, from fans and
yes,
and
that's
readers.
At npenn@prescriptionforadventure.com.
There you go. And there's probably a link on some of your pages to that web.
Yes, everything is linked together.
All right. So you can go to her website or her Facebook, and you can scroll down, find the contact key and email her yourself. Now, one of the neat things about the books, and again, I haven't gotten to read all of them yet, but I'm looking through From Kansas Wheat Fields to Alaska Tundra, and one of the neat things that helps build the depth of the rendering is you've obviously got pictures in here, but one of the other one I came across was Pluma
Mose.
Pluma Mose.
Pluma Mose, yes.
And it's a recipe in here just before you go into the bush, 1957 to 1959. Tell us a little bit about the recipes here.
Our background is Mennonite, Russian Mennonite. And when we came up here, we carried those food traditions with us. And people who come up here often leave their family and their home place. And carrying food traditions makes you feel like you're at home and kind of keeps that bit of identity.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we go tracking on back to the Ukraine. I've gone back to visit the home places there in the Ukraine and in Poland, too. But that was a hard thing when I write about my mom and about our family, was leaving that enclave of family and coming up here where everything was unknown.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, there's a whole bunch of research that's been done on that, on the support networks that help people be successful in life because they have not just their parents to depend on, not just friends, but an entire community that helps them move forward.
And I think about that with the community up here with Kenai and Soldotna. When we moved in, everyone became family in some sense for the holidays and those times. Now, in that book, I talk about all the moves that I made, and people who come up here, especially in the military, they may move and move and move. And on the back side of that book, it says that I have move 23 times. And what happens to people? What do you carry with you, and what creates home?
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to say, too, that while I'm writing these stories about Gady family, I try to include as many people as I can in the area, not to interfere with the storyline, but because not everyone can write their story.
And some of those people, it's amazing who they are. Matter of fact, for those of you who are listening to the Tall, Dark, and Handsome Hour, earlier today, it turns out that the Gady family is responsible for Dwayne and Carol getting together, the formal Carol Speedy, who became Mrs. Tall, Dark, and Handsome. So, and I think there's actually like page 121 is talks about John Speedy.
Yes. So we were living in Anchorage, and Paul and Irene Carlson lived there, and we were all just poor, so we shared a house. And Paul and Irene, who would be the grandparents of Carol, were living in a single-car garage, and they gave us the rest of the house, not that it was so big. And so we started out there. And then later, when my dad was flying his plane from Tanana to Montana, John Speedy volunteered to fly down with him. Mm. And then later, Carol lived with my parents when she was going to school here.
That's right. That's what Dwayne referred to, as he said. Yeah, they were. That was where Carol lived when she first came down to the Kenai Peninsula.
Well, I'm always glad when our facts agree.
Outstanding. Now, the I like in the beginning when it talks about the description of the Kenai Peninsula when you got here. In 1961, the major population of the central Kenai Peninsula consisted of 6,000 to 8,000 people scattered over a 25-mile radius. This included the strewn-out town of Soldotna, as well as the nearby older establishment of Kenai. Very nice.
Yes. Oh, I drive through this town, and I think, well, this was here and that was there. And I showed pictures yesterday at the Kenai Senior Citizen, and we were looking at this and going, like, this was an airstrip. It's now Wilson Street with Kalates at the end, but that was an airstrip over there.
That's why it's so straight. Yeah. Well, and, you know, and the beautiful thing I like, it's sometimes things may have been, you know, we look back and they may have been better. You actually had two grocery stores. You described two grocery stores back then, and now we're down to one. So an amazing little picture of Alaska, and then all the different people that your lives touched. I mean, it's amazing the amount of people. And we saw the example of John Speedy, and I mean, who knew that that the books about Alaska and a very personal experience of Alaska would be so popular?
Well, I know I read them all the time, and I hope other people find them interesting, too. In my books, I have an index in the back, so you can find these different people. I've also added endnote and glossary, because it's like, I know I'm writing nonfiction. It's got to read like fiction, I think, but there are all those facts in there. There's also a reader's guide in the back of each one of them for family reading, book clubs, or for student book reports. And the latest thing, I've upgraded, I have an Alaska unit and history study guide that goes with Alaska Bush Pilot Doctor, because students are required to have that credit for graduating here in Alaska. And now they can read about a real person and learn history at the same time.
Oh, outstanding. That is terrific. Now we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. And KSRM sound off time is 10:23.